Welcome back to the Villain Edit! I am Monty Ashley. Who are you?
I'm Ryus Hall.
How you doing, Ryus?
I'm fine.
We are recording inside a very small room because the air in Seattle is hot and full of smoke.
Yes. So we've wedged a tiny air conditioner in one window, and now we dare not leave our tiny chamber.
So if we sound extra sexy, it's because of all the smokiness in the air and in our voices.
Yes, and if you hear some crunching in the background, that's because the dog is having her dinner.
What a lucky dog to be allowed some dinner. All right, let's get into it. The Bachelorette had its Men Tell All episode. Do you feel the men told all?
I feel like they told way more than I wanted them to.
That was a 2-hour episode, wasn't it?
I don't know. At one point, I had to go to bed in the middle of it, and then we had to watch the rest of it the next day, so I have no idea how long it went on.
It seemed to go on for a long time. It started with a montage of moments from previous Men Tell All episodes.
Yeah, and it was not just a mini montage. It was 2 solid minutes of men telling things.
It was, you know, remember when this happened? And no. I barely remember things that happened in this season, and I look forward to not remembering them.
I look forward to forgetting them as soon as possible.
Is there anything interesting in this episode you wish to talk about?
I really don't think so. I mean, they did confront what's-his-name about being a racist.
Lee.
They did confront Lee about his racist tweets, which he had made. And he made noises like, well, I was an idiot and I'm trying to get better.
He said he apologized. He called them racist tweets. I don't know what else we could ask for him except to go away and never hear from him again.
Well, that's what we're all hoping for.
Blah, blah, blah. Dean was sad that he got cut.
Yeah. Wanted to know how dare she tell him she was falling in love with him and then ditch him.
They basically just went over all of the stuff I don't like on this show. Like, they showed each person's package, was, you know, here's the Chris Harrison was very proud of how this was the most drama-filled house ever. And I'm like, that all of this stuff I don't like. The only thing I liked was the blooper segment, in which we got to see jackasses tearing around a golf course on golf carts.
Yeah, well, I don't think they ever got to ride golf carts in the show. I think that they were going to use that footage, and then one of the golf carts crashed, and there were some amusing bloopers.
Yeah, bloopers is their code for things that happened that didn't fit one of their storylines.
Right, we had them ride around on golf courts like idiots, but we ended up not using the footage. Here you go.
This one guy got drunk and just started going to town on eating some oysters.
Yeah.
And that was fun, but we can't show that in the regular show. Yeah. So that was the Men Tell All. I believe next week the season will be over, and so will our time with this franchise. Oh, and they ended with trying to get us excited about Bachelor in Paradise, which we are not. That's gross.
No, Bachelor in Paradise. Oh, yes, the show in which someone got raped. Let's all watch that together. No, guys, you gotta cut that.
Yeah. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's talk about a fun show.
There are fun shows?
There's Forged in Fire.
Forged in Fire is always a good time.
In this case, we had 4 people. Chad, who was a large dude with a beard, and he had to sit down because he said he had 3 ruptured discs.
Yeah, he should not be blacksmithing in that condition. Yeah. But he made it on the show, and God bless him for trying.
There was Rachel, who has been blacksmithing for 3 years, it said.
I liked Rachel. She was kind of awesome.
There was a guy named Buster Grubbs from Georgia. I liked him a lot. And there's a guy named Sean Ellis, who's from, I think they ended up saying, Arkansas. And I really enjoyed how low-key he was about everything.
Yeah, a lot of times people get real excited if something goes wrong. He was just like, well, I'm just going to keep going slow and steady, and I'm going to make this knife.
Yep. Other people would comment on their problem. He'd just go, yep, yep, it's what I do. At one point, he smacked one of the other contestants on the butt, not Rachel, just kind of a, hey, yeah, buddy, you'll do okay. Whap.
Yeah, it was an encouraging smack on the butt, such as one might see on a football field.
So what happened in round 1?
Round one, they were given some metal to make knives out of, and this time the metal consisted of giant rusty anchor chains and some anchors. Everybody decided to go ahead and use the giant rusty chains, so they all worked together to each cut off a link.
Yep, they all got a big chunk of anchor metal, and they got to combine that with good metal.
Right.
And they're supposed to make a sanmai, which is kind of a taco deal, with the good metal in the middle and the soft metal on the outside.
Are you sure the soft metal's not supposed to go in the middle?
Yeah, yeah. Because the hard metal is what forms the edge, and the soft metal is the spine, so it doesn't break.
Okay.
It looked hard to do, and...
It proved hard to do for the contestants. During the first round, the one guy that with the slip discs...
Chad.
He got the heat stroke, and also the slip discs.
Yeah.
And they had to call an ambulance. I'd like to talk about this for a minute.
Go.
Call an ambulance? Dude, you people need to have an ambulance parked outside the door. I know you have medical crew that run in and give people bottles of water and make sure they don't die, but this is a show involving giant pieces of nearly molten metal. Have an ambulance waiting outside the building.
Only two or three people per season have to be taken to the emergency room.
Yeah, but just have an ambulance waiting.
In this case, he kind of lost his coherence for a little bit. And then once they gave him some oxygen, they said, "Do you believe you can continue?" And he said, "No, sir, I do not." I like that. It was clear-headed thinking of his.
Yes.
So Chad was out, and that left Buster and Rachel and Sean going into round two.
Round two.
They were given a boat propeller and told, you have to take something of this bronze propeller and add it to your knife.
Now, going into round two was interesting because sometimes on this show when they go into round two, everybody has a knife that just needs a handle.
Yeah.
But on this episode, nobody was in that position.
Yeah, they all kind of looked like, I think Sean's looked the best. The other two's kind of looked just like some flat metal. Mostly flat metal.
Some of them were super warped.
Yeah.
Rachel's was really warped.
Buster's was warped, and his handle plan started with, "I decided to take this blue stuff."
Oh, yeah.
And it looked cool, but it turns out that he was treating it wrong and it cracked.
Yeah, it was a blue resin with white swirls in it.
Yeah.
And it cracked because... it's resin in it.
Resin is brittle. You can't grind it down the way you would. You have to be more careful with it. So in the testing at the end of round two, Rachel did fine. Sean did fine. Buster's sword bent.
Right in the middle in a cartoonish manner.
Had a giant crack because apparently he had some thin spots.
Yeah, it had a big... thin spot, and then they hit something with it, and when it pulled back, it was shaped like the letter L.
It was the wood crate chop.
I don't object to the wood crate chop the way that I object to some of the other chops. I feel like you might actually have a need to chop wood with a knife.
Yeah.
Unlike 10-penny nails. Nobody needs that.
Then that left us with Sean and Rachel, and they were told to make a kachin dao. Can you describe a kachin dao?
Well, it's kind of a triangular-shaped blade. It's flat on the end, and the pointy part of the triangle. No, I can't describe a kachin dao.
I'm going to try. This is not easy in a purely audio format, but picture kind of a short sword, but instead of tapering to a point, it flares outwards a bit towards the end. So it's a flat spot where you would see the point of the thing, and it looks like a real good chopper.
Which is interesting because it was used by headhunter tribes for chopping off heads.
Yes.
So I guess we all know what's going to happen to these poor, unfortunate ballistics dummies.
Oh, those guys. They are not doing well, are they?
Not really.
So we got to see Rachel's forge in Wyandotte, Michigan, and Sean's forge in Mountain View, Arkansas.
Rachel's forge is really primitive. She decided to use that her thing is that she always uses recycled metal. So she just got a big old leaf spring and pounded it up flat and cut a sword shape out of it.
Which I love. So many leaf spring swords have won the last round because you're not trying to do anything fancy with 8 types of Damascus. You're just...
No, you're just pounding out a piece of metal into the right shape. And I thought she did okay. I felt like you can tell that she doesn't have as much experience, largely because her forge was flames with bricks stacked around them, as opposed to a lot of people who have actual forges.
Yeah, she's got 3 years of experience. Sean's got 15.
Yeah.
Buster had 27. Sean was very straightforward about his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
His only brief scare was that he needed a bigger heat furnace to prepare to quench his blade, to heat treat it.
Right. And so he got himself a metal pipe, welded it down to a metal stand, and went to town.
And I liked that because we actually saw him cleaning it a bit, which normally when people say, oh, I need a bigger vat for my quenching water, we just see them look around their yard. A lot of these guys have yards full of stuff. And they're like, oh, satellite dish. This will be fine. But Sean, I liked what he did. He prepared it. His final catch and dow looked great to me.
It was beautiful. It had a black wooden handle. It had some really gorgeous silver pommel. Pommel the word I'm looking
for? Sure, handle, pommel.
Yeah, it was really pretty, and it looked like a museum piece. It was really nice. Rachel decided that for the handle of her knife, of her leaf spring knife, that because she was into recycled materials, she would just use like the leg of a coffee table, hollow it out.
Which sounded weird at first, but it looked good.
Yeah, it was the right thing to do. So she drilled it out, and instead of epoxying it into place, she decided that she wanted to go with the traditional rice glue that would have been used on the weapon historically, and that was a mistake.
Yeah, she didn't use a pin or anything. And we saw her in her backyard say, there's a little bit of a wiggle there on the handle, but it'll be fine.
It'll be okay. It will not be okay. If your handle is wiggly, they will call you on it. So, and also, her handle did not look good.
It didn't. It was wrapped, but it looked badly wrapped.
The wood was shaped and sanded, but it wasn't waxed or polished in any way.
Yeah.
And then it was just wrapped in twine. It just wasn't that great
looking.
Her
blade wasn't smooth either. Like,
no.
There were like hammer marks, so I thought she was going for a primitive look. And I liked how it...
It looked utilitarian as hell.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to get hit with it. And I liked the way it contrasted with Sean's, which looked...
Which was just...
Perfect.
Yeah.
And sleek. So Doug tested Sean's, chopped up a ballistics dummy. Hit it so hard that all the flesh flew off of its face.
Yeah, all the ballistic gel flew off the skull from the back, and it was really disgusting.
And
especially in slow motion.
Which we got to see plenty of, because this show loves its slow motion cameras.
Hey.
And then they started to test Rachel's, but the wobble was too much. And Doug said, I can't test this, so Sean won.
Hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
Wasn't a super satisfying.
It was not a satisfying ending, and I was kind of annoyed because I was so happy to see a female contestant making it to the final round.
Yeah, I like that they're serious about their safety, but I wish we had gotten to see at least one round of actual tests.
Yeah.
Because we didn't in either spot.
Yeah. So that was kind of a disappointment. I hope they have someone else make these blades later in the season.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to come up with some new crazy blade for each season. You guys can go back and do a blade you did in season one, and nobody will be angry at you.
Yeah. Let us talk about Ink Master.
Ink Master!
I've come to the conclusion that I really don't care about any of the people on Ink Master.
Agreed.
They keep swapping in... A team will leave, a new team will come in, so that means we're still stuck with 9 or 10 teams. This is... All right, you know I used to say that what I wanted was a reality show where they didn't eliminate anyone?
Ha! Well, how you feel about that now?
This isn't a perfect test of that, because if you didn't eliminate anyone, you'd get to know all of the people throughout the season. But there are definitely too many people on this show for as far into the season as I think we are. What do you think?
I agree. I don't remember who was on the show originally. I have no idea who the teams that were added are. I forget about it immediately.
They're trying to build up some kind of drama about the original teams versus the all-star teams that have come back, but I don't know who any of them are.
Yeah, nobody really cares.
Yeah. So this had a flash challenge. That was about tattooing people.
Yes, and I thought it was a good flash challenge. It was when this was the episode where the show tries to show the tattoo artist as being nice. They actually have to be nice to their canvases in this episode. What happened is that their canvases were parents.
Or grandparents.
Or grandparents whose children had some kind of a medical issue and they wanted a tattoo reflecting the medical issue. For example, there's a guy whose son has an insulin pump that he has to wear all the time. So the guy wants a tattoo of an insulin pump so that his kid won't feel like he's the only one in the family that's a weirdo.
It was very sweet. There were a couple. One person was like, my kid has burn scars on his legs. I want burn scars to show solidarity.
Right.
The saddest one was this one kid who has had 139 surgeries.
Oh, that poor kid.
And that was one of the ones where
he wanted a cochlear. He had a cochlear implant so he could hear. And his grandma wanted a tattoo of an implant just like his.
And I want to read this quote. I wanted him to see it before he goes blind again.
Yeah, that kid's... that almost made Dave Navarro cry.
So most of those...
That was pretty sad. Most
of those tattoos were assigned randomly. They only said nice things about all of them.
Yeah, they didn't say mean things about each other's tattoos.
It was a nice moment. Then it was right back to the snarling and meanness with the main challenge, which was people who wanted fine art paintings tattooed upon their flesh.
Right. So this is the challenge where you have to copy a painting.
Let's just run through these paintings real quick and see what we thought of the tattoos that were done, okay?
Yeah, just a sec.
Oh, hang on. Okay. There's a pause. Are we done with the pause?
We're done with the pause.
Number one, this was Allegory Art. They were doing a Caravaggio.
And it was really nice. It was a Saint somebody reading a book.
I liked it.
In the original painting, which is much larger, the saint is reading a book and he's got a large table with a skull on it.
And Dave Navarro was very unhappy that the skull wasn't in the final tattoo.
He would be. He says, the skull is the focal point of the whole painting. I don't think that is true at all. I think he just focuses on the skull because that's who he is.
There were two people, Basilica and Black Cobra, that had to do some Degas ballerinas.
Right. They both had the same piece of art they had to represent. And they both did a decent job of it.
Yeah, the allegedly the key word this week was consistency, but that doesn't mean anything when you're looking at one tattoo. So mostly what they were looking at was, did you convey the feel of this tattoo, which with Degas means, does it look like it's watercolors?
Yeah, does it look like it's watercolors? Is it kind of blurry?
And one team did a better job than the other one.
Yeah, one team didn't use their blacks boldly enough.
Yeah, which I can see that. Degas does have black outlines to kind of delineate the human nonsense figures among the swatches of color. I will say that
both tattoos I thought looked nice, and I don't think that either of the human canvases are going to go home and feel bad.
I will say that after criticizing anatomy so much on this show, I think Degas' anatomy is all messed up on this.
It is. Those legs don't look like legs.
This leg does not connect to this torso at all, Degas. What are you doing? Where is her butt?
There.
All right. Gustav Klimt.
Yes. Black Spade.
Black Spade.
Black Spade had to do a Gustav Klimt tattoo of the kiss. They were not thrilled with the idea. The canvas wanted the entire painting because she said, it's very important to me that you see the woman's feet so she knows she's fallen on her knees before her lover. And they said, we don't have time to tattoo that.
Now, there's some disagreement on what the important part of this tattoo is.
Right.
Some people say it is the faces and hands that are up at the top, but the most interesting part of the tattoo to me is the giant yellow section in the middle.
Right, and they cut most of that out and focused on the faces and hands, which they didn't do a great job.
No, they didn't finish the hands.
Because they started by working on all the flowers and the cloak, and then they didn't have time to finish the hands and the faces, which they should have done first.
And Clint did a lot of work on the guy's hands, and you can't really see that here. Mm-hmm. And there's no line between her hand and his hand. And
yeah, it's kind of a mess.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, both of us were outraged that somebody wanted this tattoo because we thought it would be super difficult.
Yeah.
And then all the tattoo artists were saying, well, that's the easiest one.
Yeah, this lady's like, I want this tattoo, and Monty and I both objected vociferously at exactly the same moment.
It was great.
It was pretty funny.
And then all the tattoo artists were like, well, that's just paint by numbers. How could you screw that up? So
they did screw it up, though.
My favorite, artistic skin design.
Artistic skin design killed it. It was Van Gogh's portrait in a gray felt hat, and it's gorgeous. Their tattoo looks just like the painting. There is nothing to complain about.
No, it looks just like the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of these things, they kept saying, like, I want to see the brush strokes, which for a lot of paint styles, you can't.
Yeah, Caravaggio, but, good luck.
Like, well, this is Degas. There's kind of swooshes of painting. Mm-hmm. But in this particular Van Gogh, you can see individual brush strokes.
And they have perfectly mimicked them.
And it looks like it, though. They did a great job.
Yeah. Oh, then there was the guy that wanted the entire ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And they said no. How about this?
They talked him down to just God and Adam's fingers.
Which is, you know, the hand of God reaching down to barely touch the finger of Adam. And it looks fine.
I'm going to say, now that you mention it, I don't like that they're horizontal here.
I kind of like that they're horizontal.
Shouldn't God be reaching down a little bit?
God might be supposed to be reaching down a little bit, but doesn't he have like six knuckles on that finger?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a pretty good tattoo and everybody likes it.
I think this is his arm, so I guess he could just change the aspect ratio by tilting it. But yeah, it totally looks like the hands from the Sistine Chapel.
Mm-hmm. It's very recognizable. It's obviously the hands from the Sistine Chapel.
If you want that on your body, they did a good job.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Old Town Ink did a Vermeer, milkmaid, which at first glance, my problems are like, well, the lighting isn't very clear, and I feel like if you're doing a Vermeer, it really should be.
Yeah, Vermeer is all about the lighting.
And in the original, her arm clearly has flour on it, but here it just kind of looks lighter, but then you get up to the face.
Yeah, and everything looks pretty good, but then you get to the face, and it kind of looks like Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, that's not a good face, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no neck either.
Yeah, it's
I'm willing to forgive the no neck, but yeah, the face, it just does not look like... It doesn't look like a female face.
Yeah. Well, you can tell it's a female because she's pouring milk, which is women's work.
Yes, of course, we all know that.
Pins and Needles did a Manet... It looked like a Monet.
Yeah, if you look at it, you're going to say, oh, that's Monet, all right.
Monet.
Whatever.
The judges complained that none of the actual shapes looked exactly like the original painting. But, you know, it's impressionistic.
Yeah.
It's still clearly, you know.
It is what it is. The judges didn't like it. They thought the shape of the boat was wrong. Oh, my favorite.
Would you like to describe what Unkindness Art did?
Unkindness Art was given the Goya painting, I believe it's called The Witch's Sabbath. That's the one where the goat is sitting in the middle, and he looks super happy, and there's a witch holding up a skeleton baby to him, and it's probably my favorite Goya piece, but I haven't seen a lot of Goya.
Now, I think Unkindness Art did a great job here.
I think they did, too.
The judges did not. They feel that this goat is smiling, whereas the goat in the painting is demonic and sinister, and the corners of his lips turned down.
But if you look at that painting, it's a goat smiling.
I think this is the same goat as in the Goya painting.
It looks exactly like the Goya goat.
If you like that Goya goat, you would be very happy with this tattoo,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I would love that tattoo. The judges did not love that tattoo, but they were wrong.
All right, that's all of them. The jerks that did Klimt went home. Black Spade, they went home blaming each other vociferously.
As usual, except this time they blamed each other on the way out of the house instead of just the rest of the time.
This dude, Christian, who I honestly don't remember what team he's on, he's only been there for a week or so, but he has really taken over the conversation everywhere.
He's one of the returning team guys. He's got big tribal tattoos on his jowls.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's just a whole bunch of him. He's not an outright jerk the way a lot of these people are, but he is super talky.
Yeah, he goes over to everybody's table and talks to them. He's kind of a mixer, but he doesn't strike me as being a huge jerk like many of the other contestants, at least not so far.
He was on one of the teams that did the Degas Ballerinas.
Oh, yeah.
He went over to the other team, looked at what they did, came back and said, I think our colors are better, but they're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And that is so refreshing on this show.
Where no one ever admits that anyone has done anything good ever.
Now, let's get to Face Off, which is a show
that we normally love, but we're having a rough time this season. This week's Face Off challenge was Feral Fungi. Each team was given a photograph of a certain kind of mushroom.
Yeah, they start
or fungus, and then they had to make three characters who had been exposed to the contagious zombie-making form of that fungus. And it was a 7-day.
One day, seven days,
30 days.
They started by telling about that one fungus that takes over bugs and then
kills
them.
Yeah, you know, the one that goes in the ant's brain, the ant brain fungus.
Kirsten was super excited by this. She is a huge fan of that fungus.
She's a big fan, yeah.
So, are we going to go through all these?
Well, I don't think we need to go all through. We should talk about what the fungus each team chose.
Okay.
What were they? These guys? That was Ethereal Effects, I believe.
Yeah, Ethereal Effects.
Ethereal Effects chose the
octopus spork.
I've heard it called Dead Man's Fingers.
We didn't take notes during this one because we just wanted to watch the show.
Yeah, it's an octopus it is a red fungus that is shiny and gross looking with black spots on it. It looks like an octopus. When it hatches, when it grows in nature, it hatches out of an egg-like looking thing, and then it reaches up. I've seen a video of it. It's pretty gross.
Neat.
It's soft and spongy.
Well, what they did was Kirsten had one day of infection, and she has a person with kind of a thing poking out of the eye.
Right, right. A unformed little fungus thing. Their seven-dayer.
Faina.
Faina had... she's got a guy with a whole starfish glued to his face.
Yeah, she spent a lot of time sculpting that and painting it, but it really just looks... do you know the DC Comics villain Starro?
No.
Starro is a starfish from outer space.
Does he attach himself to people's faces?
He sends out little Starros to do that.
Okay, well that's what this looks like then.
Yeah.
And then their guy,
Nelson, beard guy.
Nelson the beard guy did their 30 day, which is a guy who has had a octopus wrapped around his head.
He reminds me of this one guy, I think, in the cantina scene in Star Wars, who's got kind of a attitude and a turban.
Yeah, he does look a little bit like that guy.
But as you said, Bib Fortuna is probably the
also
easier reference.
Also a little like Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
And his skin color is all grayish-greeny stone-like. The other skin colors on the team I don't think matched as well. No, they didn't.
Yeah, they picked a real cartoony fungus, and I don't really like what they did with it.
No, I don't like what they did with it either, but whatever.
I mean, none of them really look to me like people turning into zombies. It's just... people with an increasing amount of a starfish on their heads.
It's true. And I was reading up on funguses today. Do you know there's a popular fungus called the dog vomit slime mold?
No, tell me all about it.
It grows in your garden, and it looks like a big puddle of yellow dog vomit.
Hmm.
And it's a slime mold, so it's completely harmless, and it won't hurt you or your plants.
Now, this sounds like propaganda made by the Dog Vomit Slime Mold Corporation.
It probably is.
We're perfectly harmless, says the slime mold. Don't mind us. Invite us into your house and your gastrointestinal tract.
See, it would have been a more interesting fungus for them to choose than octopus on the head. So the other team...
Twisted Six,
who are down to three members...
Yes.
...chose a fungus that is a brain... Basically, it's a mushroom that looks like a brain.
I think it's just called the brain mushroom.
I think it is called the brain mushroom.
And they had, for their one-day look...
They had a guy with gray skin who was a little lumpy.
Yeah, this is Phil's. He's the suspenders guy. Now, I have two thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
One, I feel that if somebody's only been infected with something for one day, they probably aren't already going to have stalks sticking out of their eyeballs.
No, I agree.
Especially if they're still sort of conscious 30 days later.
Well, I agree with that. However, in the movie business, you can't have your movie just stretching on. You gotta have, in The Blob, like the minute that guy touches the blob, it's attached to his arm and he's absorbed.
No, but look at The Stand. Your day one guy, he's just coughing a little, maybe scratching.
Yeah, but these guys are working on a movie, not a miniseries.
All right. Anyway, Phil's idea was that this guy has the brain mushroom poking out under his skin, but his skin still covers it.
Right. So he's basically got some lumps. It looks like really bad acne scars. He's kind of greenish.
Yeah, it looks like burn scars.
It looks like burn scars, but it's heavier than burn scars, I think. There's not that smoothness or shine or slickness.
He also has kind of a distracting flannel shirt and haircut that makes him look like he's going to start talking about the lame list.
Yeah, any minute this guy's going to start talking about his Nirvana cover band.
Next,
7-day challenge is really cool looking.
KC.
Mm-hmm. Now, it bears no relation whatsoever to the one-day guy.
It's now bursting through the top of the head.
The top of the skin is now... The skin on the top of the head is bursting open. You can see a brain fungus in it. The hair has mostly fallen off. She's got a super receding hairline. And the fungus has torn the corner of her mouth and goes clear up to her ear where it's bursting out of her ear. It's pretty gross.
That's my favorite part of
the
sculpt.
It looks kind of like a China doll.
Yeah, because she's got real big eyes, because it's that one model with the real big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little disappointed because when we saw the sculpt, it looked amazing. The mouth just turning into all of these curly cues and weird shapes going up towards the ear. And that's kind of been hidden to make it look more realistic.
Yeah, the paint job kind of hid it, but... It was a beautiful sculpt.
Yeah, I guess this is more realistic, but I just really thought it was pretty.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, we got our 30 day. Who's that? Is it a guy in a rubber mask?
It is a guy in a rubber mask. But it's a good rubber mask.
It is. It's a really good looking rubber mask. It looks like it's half human skin. Okay, about... The face isn't divided down the middle.
Good.
Which is good. So there's a big swath over the left side of the face that's all brain fungus.
This is what sells to me the connection to the day one. Because this guy looks like a fungus has burst forth from beneath his skin.
It does.
There's bits of skull kind of wrenched back.
Yeah.
This guy's having a bad time.
Yeah, he's having a rough day. And his skin's all desiccated and dried up. The only thing I felt like that detracted from it was the teeth, which looked like they were stuck in a mask.
Yeah. It was a mask, but it was a good mask.
Mm-hmm.
The guest judge was a guy who's the director of the game The Last of Us, I think.
Right. So there it was a secret video game challenge. I think they told the contestants, but they didn't tell the viewers.
Yeah. So maybe I don't know what it means that they're designing for a video game instead of a movie. But one of the things that the judge was really interested in is, does the head match the body? Because in video games, I guess it's real easy to say, well, we got a cool zombie head, put it on generic bystander
body. Yeah, just put it on whoever's around.
Now, at the end of this episode, they cut it down to 5 people.
Right, and guess what?
No more teams?
No more teams, yay!
That's good.
So, yeah, it's been a rough year for... Well, it's been an interesting season for Face Off in that I'm... Generally, when someone gets cut on Face Off, or maybe I'm just because I watched the All-Star season most recently, I feel like, okay, well, they were on Face Off for a while, they're going to get hired for other jobs.
Yeah, like in this case, Phil, who is, I call him Suspenders Guy. Mm-hmm. He's the one who did the...
Yeah.
The face that kind of didn't work this time. Mm-hmm. And do you think he's going to get work out of this?
I don't think Phil's going to get work out of this.
Ah.
I think that some of the people on this show, especially people who left earlier, are not going to be getting work out of this because their makeup is great if you're doing a haunted barn for Halloween. Not so great if you're doing a million-dollar cinema project.
In their defense...
Haunted barns are awesome?
No, haunted barns are awesome, but... I feel that this season there have been a lot of 2-day challenges that should have been 3-day challenges.
I've agreed on that in the past.
You have stopped agreeing then?
No, I still agree on it. I feel like...
so you agree with that in the past and the present.
Yes, but I may not in the future.
All right. Keeping your options open.
But yeah, I feel like the challenges this season, and we've talked about this before, have been... More than the contestants can handle, and I want to see the contestants be able to do their best work.
One thing I do not like about the team nature that we have been in is that it keeps us from getting a real variety of looks.
Right, because everyone's trying to make their look cohesive with the rest of their team.
In this challenge, we had 3 people all trying to do that octopus thing, 3 people all trying to do that brain mushroom thing.
Yeah. But wouldn't it have been fun if we had had 6 people and they each had a different fungus and they each had to do just the 30-day version?
Yeah. I think I would rather have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I still love this show.
Oh, I'm not going to stop watching this show. It's one of the few that caters to my needs.
Yeah. From what I hear, Rick Baker is the guest judge next week, and that'll be tremendously exciting.
Oh, I love Rick Baker.
Everybody loves Rick Baker. But this is a down season for them.
It's true.
I am super looking forward to whatever their new show is called. Game Face, was that it?
Game Face. We talked about that last week. We still haven't learned much more about it, but we're looking forward to it.
Yep. And it is now too hot even to be in this small room.
It's true. We had to turn the air conditioner off so that we could talk to you wonderful people.
Wait, there are wonderful people. Hi, wonderful people.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I did not realize. It is lovely of you to listen to us.
It really is. Especially considering all the nonsense that we say on a regular basis.
And with that, we are going to end this episode and turn the air conditioner back on. Goodbye, we love you.
Goodbye.